Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. This is the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, April the 4th, 2013. We are live each weekday from noon to 1 on the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. We're live streaming our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We also make it very easy for you to hear our programs really anytime, anywhere in the world. We post the program usually within an hour of its conclusion to my website, buckmastershow.com, so you can check out the podcast there. Also carrying our program, TucsonSentinel.com and TucsonCitizen.com as well. And we have links now on the home pages of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Also, we are prominently displayed on the homepage of the award-winning blog for Arizona.com. On today's show, Tucson City Councilwoman Shirley Scott will join me. We'll talk with Shirley for about a half an hour, 30 minutes past the hour. We'll talk with attorney Don Luce, who comes on our program once a month. We'll be talking about the top legal stories of the month in Arizona, and then we'll close out the show with our ongoing series from the state capitol as we talk with our representatives from Southern Arizona. Today it is District 2 State Representative Andrea D'Alessandro. If you have a question or comment, we invite you to call us at any time on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. If you have a question or comment for Councilwoman Shirley Scott, I'm sure Shirley would be delighted to hear your comment or your question. Let's welcome now Shirley Scott to the Buckmaster Show. Shirley, how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. And how are you, sir? It's great to hear from you again.
Well, thank you very much. Good to hear from you. Let's begin with the budget. How is it looking right now? The last I heard, we were facing about a $15 million budget gap.
Well, that's the tricky question of the day. How do you close that gap and still provide services to the community? Just to give you an overview generally, people say, well, can't you just use the money that you have and redistribute it so that you don't have these problems? But when you get money into the city, basically the money that comes in has certain tags on it. You can't use certain funding pieces to satisfy other needs. So the only place that we actually have any kind of wiggle room, if there is any, is out of the general fund. And that's the one that people should know is the one that we can look at. But even within the general fund, there are some restricted monies that really can't be taken from it to use elsewhere. So we are under great restrictions in terms of what can and cannot be used for this, that, or the other purpose. So this gap is always ongoing. It's partially due to cutbacks at the federal and state level. And, of course, revenues have been down generally for a while. And people, of course, know that the city of Tucson doesn't get a lion's share of property tax. That goes to the Pima County Board of Supervisors' budgets. So, yes, we have a great gap to close, but I feel confident that we will do that using some of the techniques that have been used before, and we will continue to make it work.
The police department needs an increase. They're asking for $5 million. Mainly, the chief says that would be associated with the pension and benefit increases. How will police and fire fare in this budget?
The police and fire will be covered because we are mandated, if nothing else, by the charter to provide those services. So they are, number one, on the list of whatever needs to be funded, they shall come first as the first priority. And just for information purposes, out of the general fund, the police and fire and city courts and the lawyers and all those all together take more than half of the general fund expenditures in order to keep them vital and to provide the services that they need to provide. So the public should know that that's where the priorities are as far as the public is concerned, and that's where the money is actually going. It is our intent, I think, to make sure that that charter is met, but also the needs of the community are met at the highest level with the money that we have available.
But you would be against any cuts to police and fire?
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't cut a thing. They have some needs that are unmet over there in terms of their own machinery, whether it be computers, whether it be the cars, whether it whatever it be. They are on the ropes, if you will, with many of those kinds of things, their radios and all the rest. They need updates on those. Some of them are out of date or long beyond their use. And that's a very serious issue when it comes to both police and fire. Those kinds of things cost money, and we do want those people to respond to our emergencies and requests. And the staffing goals are going to be looked at, but they're going to be dropping seriously in the year 2015, and that's what we should target. We're looking at the 2014 budget right now. But in 2015, if you can imagine, there are going to be a number, quite a large number of people who retire from police and or fire, and we're going to have to fill that gap and quickly. So what does that mean? That means we need more training academies, and those cost money. And we need to get those people screened in and get them going on those academies to try to fill those anticipated gaps. So we're going to have a younger and more vibrant police and fire department, and that some of those folks who have archival knowledge and experience will actually be leaving the department directly by the year 2015. That's pretty serious.
Yeah, so it's a big turnover. It's a big brain drain, if you will, isn't it?
Absolutely. So we are looking. It's not that we don't know that. We are planning for that. We are putting our minds in that direction because that is a report, an absolute necessity. We all want that as a number one priority.
Cities across the state very upset with this controversial plan by the governor to change how construction activity is taxed, and that could cost the state up to $137 million in revenue. That would be a big hit to the city of Tucson. Basically, I guess under current Arizona law, contracting is taxed at the point of construction, and that would change, wouldn't it?
It certainly would, and it basically would take that power or those revenues out of all the cities and towns and put it into the state hands. And we who are small cities and towns and larger cities, we do not wish to give them more than their fair share because we need it to balance our budgets, and we appreciate their concern for this kind of revenue for themselves, but we need to leave it where the revenue is generated and not let it go somewhere else.
Shirley Scott with us on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040, 790-2040. If you have a question or comment for Councilwoman Shirley Scott, she would be delighted to hear from you. Parks and Rec really hasn't had any money coming into that department, new money, in a long time. They've kind of been just sort of holding the line, haven't they?
They certainly have. The Parks and Rec department, just for your information, has really almost the same bite of the apple from the general fund as the transit people do. So Parks and Recreation, I'm afraid, has taken more of a devastating hit than the people in some of these other places. You know, they've lost 253 different employees positions in order to balance their own budget. As you know, they are not able to maintain the parks at the level we would like. And as a result, we are hurting our own parks. And the way I see it is, basically, the park is a place where anybody could go or should be able to go for free and enjoy an outing, a picnic, or have the kids play in the playground equipment and just have a pleasant day out with the family that is almost cost-free. So I'm very concerned about the status of the maintenance and the people and the pools and all the rest within the budget of the Parks and Recreation Department. They're doing a wonderful job trying to do more with less, as all departments are. And as I say, they are 250 people short of what they really could use. And the playground equipment is what has been damaged by some vandals in just Ward 4 alone. We have five parks currently sitting right now, five different parks in Ward 4, where the playground equipment has either been burned or so severely vandalized that children cannot use it. And to replace that is about almost $150,000 to $200,000 per park. This is because people are just not thinking that this costs serious money. It really does. Another thing the Parks Department is having to do is to basically replace copper wiring. People are going into the parks and stealing copper wiring. And right out here in front of my office, there used to be two park benches screwed into the ground into a pad. One of those, even a park bench, has been taken away, not by the Parks Department. It's that kind of question in my mind that says, when those things are done, maybe one person benefits or maybe one group benefits, but that means the rest of us have to dig into our wallets and keep the money flowing to cover those costs. Who do you think is spending, who do you think is paying for all this? It's us, the citizens. So it's sad to say that the copper wiring is being stolen, park benches, playground equipment, $150,000 or $200,000.
Wow.
It's awful.
All right. Shirley Scott, we're going to take a break right here so we can hear from the fine lineup of people who support the Buckmaster Show. Please give these people your support. We'll be back with Shirley Scott and your comments at 790-2040. Stay with us.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here, aren't you?
This is John Fina.
You're...
This is Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
I'm Bruce Peet.
Hey there.
This is Andy Brown.
Great to see you.
Hi, this is Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you at...
This is Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
My name is Jerry Fitzgerald.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see you.
This is Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
This is Rita Marshall.
I didn't know you were coming.
This is Bill Huss.
Can I get you anything?
Hi.
Richard White.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party, too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Weston La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at WestonLaPalomaResort.com. Looking for a cool getaway this July? I highly recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at BearMountainLodge.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Since 2006, the RTA has completed more than 500 projects, including 180 miles of bikeways and more than 50 bus pullouts. Current projects include La Cañada from Ina to River and the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars have created more than 2,500 road construction jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Come in.
Come sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony? Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. As we push toward 12:21 on this Thursday afternoon, this portion of Buckmaster presented by our friends in the city of Benson, and they are getting ready for their 8th annual Bluegrass Festival in the Park, April 26th through the 28th. This should be a lot of fun at Lions Park in Benson, Arizona, the gateway to the San Pedro Valley. It's only 45 minutes east of Tucson. You can get the complete schedule for Benson's Bluegrass in the Park. A lot of great entertainers. For more information on all the attractions, accommodations, and dining options, call or visit online the Benson Visitor Center at bensonvisitorcenter.com. Tucson City Councilwoman Shirley Scott with us on the Buckmaster Show. And let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Terry, you're up with Councilwoman Scott. Go ahead, Terry.
Yes, Bill, thank you very much. And hi, Shirley, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for calling. It's nice to hear from you.
Well, yes, ma'am. Thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate it. And most of us want to only have the finest people in your city. I'm in Ward 2, by the way. And we're having little problems with the people who are in Ward 2 who represent those people, those fine people in your city council. You might know there are a couple of names there in Ward 2.
what's your question there, Terry?
The question is, would you consider going part-time, your city council members and you vote on it, go part-time, because we're really making ends meet here. We're having to have a bill, and surely a lot of people here, from a gospel mission, serving people local in here, food kitchens overcrowded, and the poor, massive people here. We're just now turning the economy around. Do you guys really want to vote for a pay raise? And I say no to pay raises because we're still trying to make ends meet here. And would you consider, Shirley, and thank you, Bill, Shirley going on part-time because we just can't afford it to meet the budget.
Thank you,
Bill.
Terry.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Terry. So, Shirley, I think Terry would like you to cut your annual salary. What is it, $24,000?
Yes, and actually that is not something over which the city council members have any say whatsoever. It's the voters who decide and have decided that that shall be the remuneration for our 60 to 70 hour week. If I were to cut back and go half time, I'd love that, but the demands on my time are greater. But in terms of a pay raise for the other staffing people who are here, we haven't decided that, and I do understand that there is a lot of stress in the community because of the economic downturn. So it's not that we're insensitive to that. We just have to look at all of the dollars that come in, and by the way, the money that all the city council members get is considered part-time, just as a little side note.
The $24,000 a year is considered part-time.
Yes, sir.
Caller who did not want to go on the air, Shirley, but the caller asked if I would ask you this question. Of course I will. What are the shortfalls of the city's pension plan?
Well, I'd like to address that in generic terms because I don't have the specific dollars in front of me. But the only place that I've ever heard of where a retirement plan is fully funded is at the U.S. Post Office. They can't even begin to do any work in opening or hire new people unless they have an entire salary benefit package or just pension put together. All pension plans, including the ones for corporate America and for the City of Tucson workers, basically are funded, but they're not 100% funded because they are the funds themselves are investments. And these investments have certain parameters. They should not fall below a certain percentage rate return. And as long as you have that in place and that keeps going in the right direction, there will be money as we go along to fully fund the pensions.
Okay. Ira is up next. Ira, make it real quick with your question. We're about out of time.
Yeah, I don't always agree with the city council as a group, but I will say this, that the voters and the citizens' opposition to a pay raise, is I liken it to almost like a lynch mob. There is no justice in that. You folks give a lot of your time and effort, regardless of whether we agree with you or not, and you do deserve at least some remuneration, somewhat better remuneration. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you, Ira. Go ahead, Shirley.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. A lot of us do an awful lot of, shall we say, non-TV, non-radio work, and that's what we're hired to do. My philosophy is, if you want me on the radio and the TV a lot, sure, but I'd rather just get the job done. And it takes a lot of effort and a lot of help from the very qualified city staff that really makes it happen. So I salute them, and we'll just keep plugging away and try to keep services at a high level and make sure we note what's going on and address all the problems we possibly can.
Shirley, before I wrap it up with you, I've got about three more minutes. I know that the downtown Tucson merchants, of course, they've had to put up with the year of construction. It's been a very difficult year, a full year
Absolutely.
Of streetcar construction in downtown Tucson. A lot going on with our roads and other construction issues in downtown. Maybe this is not the best time to have a increase in the meter rates.
Yeah, there's a great deal of in surveying being done to see whether you can recover some of the costs it takes to run some of these parking spaces, and I agree with you. If you want more people to use the meters, then maybe we have to look seriously at whether or not it's a good idea to raise rates. But I'd like to put a plug in for fun things that are happening out here in Ward 4. We have had the Bluebell ice cream people come down, and they did a groundbreaking. They're going to build a brand new facility and manufacture their ice cream
here in Tucson. Bluebell ice cream in Tucson. Mm.
You betcha. And it's going to be out here in
it's good ice cream.
4. You mm-hmm. betcha. This week, the IBM facility opened an executive briefing center at their Science and Tech Park facility, and that is a huge investment. This will serve the Americas as part of their services worldwide, and there are 12 of these only in the world, 6 of whom are in the United States, 1 of which is in Tucson, Arizona. So I salute them for bringing that kind of technology to our area. Another thing that's happening is the Harrison Greenway Project, which is paid for by the county, and that's going to help with the so-called loop. The loop, as you may know, is a trail that connects all of the washes. So the Santa Cruz, the Rito, and the Pantano will be linked by this loop, and that Harrison Greenway is another piece, and it's underway. We've already had the opening of the Atterbury Wash Greenway, which was part of that. And let's see, there is now an open house availability for people to take a look at this greenway and see what it really is, and updates on the Julian Wash and Harrison Greenway segments. There are 2 open houses, just so you can go see what's going on, from 6 to 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday, April 25th at Desert Sky Middle School, and on May the 2nd, 6 to 7:30 at the Thomas J. Regional Park on Craycroft Road.
Okay, Shirley Scott.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Shirley, for spending a half an hour with us. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too, sir.
Thanks a lot. Shirley Scott, Tucson City Councilwoman, with us on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up next in the next half hour, Don Luce, attorney from Luce Brown & Associates. He comes on the Buckmaster Show once a month, and we talk about legal issues, lots to talk about. We're going to talk about the situation going on with Bisbee's civil union vote. And Attorney General Tom Horn going to take action against the town of Bisbee. Also, Representative Andrea D'Alessandro joins us at 12:45. Stick around for the second half hour of Buckmaster.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. There's a memorial underway in Texas for a slain prosecutor and his wife. It's a service for Kaufman County District Attorney Mike McClelland and his wife, Cynthia. A gun control group says Connecticut is joining states like California, New York, New Jersey, and Massachusetts in having the country's strongest gun control laws. The New York City Medical Examiner's Office says more possible traces of human remains have been found during the sifting of newly uncovered debris from the site of the World Trade Center. Turns out an 18-year-old man who's now facing drunken driving charges in a Nevada interstate crash that killed five members of a Southern California family was a fugitive from a California juvenile facility at the time of the accident. More details at srnnews.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects and creating more than 2,500 jobs since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cunada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday afternoon as we push toward 12:36. I'm joined in studio with attorney Don Luce of Luce, Brown & Associates, whose offices are here in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor and author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers. This revised edition is doing very well, the second edition. His other book is Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don, good to see you.
Bill, great to be back.
Never a shortage of legal issues that make headlines in this state.
Not at all. Every week brings with it new headlines of changes to Arizona law that are interesting and controversial.
And the top story this week, Arizona Attorney General Tom Horn says they will be filing his office a lawsuit challenging the city of Bisbee's new civil union ordinance. What are the objections that Mr. Horn has to this?
Well, it's a very narrow argument, Bill. Tom Horn, our attorney general, says that this Bisbee ordinance is going to affect seven separate state statutes, and therefore it's a matter for the state to determine, not a matter for the city to determine. What Tom Horn says basically is this. The ordinance, which recognizes the civil union, would change community property laws, change inheritance of property laws, and laws dealing with the appointment of personal representatives of decedents' estates. And so he says, this is something that is for the governance of the legislature, not for the governance of the city council, or for that matter, any city council throughout the state of Arizona, that laws having to do with marriage and civil unions are so closely related that it all has to be governed at the state level. And therefore, he has legally told the city of Bisbee that he is going to challenge it on behalf of the state of Arizona, and we should see a lawsuit filed next week.
The city attorney, John McKinnon in Bisbee, is defending his town's move, saying that the civil union ordinance does not change state laws, Don Luce, and that the state had no legal standing in this fight. So this can be very interesting.
Well, and you know, technically that is a correct statement. The ordinance does not change any state laws because we don't have any state laws concerning civil unions. What we have at the state level are two laws. We have a 2008 proposition which prohibited marriage between persons other than people of opposite sex. And then we had a law that the legislature had passed many, many, many years ago that basically said the same thing, that marriage can only be between a man and a woman. But we have nothing on the books at the state level talking about civil unions. And in order for the state to prevail in its impending lawsuit against the city of Bisbee, it is going to have to show that the Bisbee law in some way impacts state law. And as I indicated earlier, there are some state laws that govern relationships between men and women that Tom Horn is going to cite in support of his argument that the city of Bisbee exceeded its jurisdiction. I note also, and this is interesting timing, just last week before the United States Supreme Court, two cases involving gay marriage rights and issues were argued. The first case, which was argued last Tuesday, involved California Prop 8, which prohibited same-sex marriage. The same law that Arizona has essentially was argued to the court by the state of California. And then the following day, last Wednesday, the court heard the Defense of Marriage Act case, which is the federal law that says essentially federal benefits can only be given to spouses if the marriage is between a man and a woman. And so both of those cases were argued last week. And then this week, the City Council of Bisbee enacts a civil union ordinance which is creating controversy of its own within the state of Arizona. Fascinating stuff, really.
Mm-hmm. Our state legislature, the state Senate, has rejected texting while driving. This amendment has come up by Senator Steve Farley on numerous occasions before Steve was in the Senate. He brought it up in the state House. And again, the state lawmakers said no.
Well, this is at least the sixth attempt to, at the state level, prohibit texting and driving. And each attempt has been shot down. So there's some tongue-in-cheek discussion about this being an exercise in futility. it's a perennial proposal.
I don't understand this one. To me, it makes sense to ban texting while driving. But
well, it does. And, yeah. You know, 44 states have some sort of restriction. Tucson has a restriction, and Phoenix has a restriction.
That's crazy.
I might suggest that at some point this might be a federal mandate. You know, there are certain things that
I would think so.
Yeah, because we get federal highway funding,
yes.
And so texting and driving may actually end up being a federal law at some point. And Steve
kind
Farley
like
won't
seat belts or something like that.
Right, yeah. Right. And the 0.08 for DUI and all that sort of thing. So Steve Farley may not have to keep proposing it every year.
And SB 1070 just won't go away, at least in the courts.
No, this Ninth Circuit argument that was held this week had to do with a provision of SB 1070. Which the federal judge in Phoenix, Susan Bolton, said was unconstitutional. And she actually, in September, issued an injunction saying that the state could not enforce the provision making it a crime to harbor or transport illegal immigrants. So the state of Arizona appealed her injunctive decision to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is the circuit court for Arizona. And the state is saying that there is a rational basis for that law. But this is the sixth injunction that has been issued in connection with the SB 1070 provisions.
It won't be the last either, probably.
It probably won't. Last year in the Supreme Court, some of the provisions were put to bed or put to rest for final, and those will not be relitigated. But interestingly, there are several provisions of SB 1070 which are still undecided and may actually at some point end up back in the Supreme Court for resolution.
Don Luce, attorney with Luce Brown & Associates, thank you very much. Don is the author of the revised edition, second edition, Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers. That's like a third. I think the revised edition is about a third larger than the first edition.
It is. As we said at the top, there is always something interesting to write about.
The other book that is very popular, Don's book, Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Very simple language. Both books, you do not need to be an attorney to understand them. They are written for non-attorneys, really, and the layman.
I did,
right?
Bill. And in writing the books, what I wanted to do was provide information to non-lawyers so that if they actually needed to consult an attorney, they would go into the consultation armed with the information and hopefully pay less in attorney's fees.
Okay. Don Luce, thanks a lot. Have a great week.
Thanks, Bill. Always a pleasure.
This is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Here's what our customers are saying about us.
They always go above and beyond to make sure everything is just perfect.
Nobody does it better than Arizona Party Rental.
They are one of the most professional group of people I've ever worked with.
They maintain high standards and deliver five-star service.
Arizona Party Rental always comes through with a smile.
Their selection is amazing, their advice terrific, and their service is remarkable.
Thanks a lot, everybody. Hey, you can join the party, too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Biosphere 1 is the world we live in. Biosphere 2 is an amazing reflection of Biosphere 1, a UA Science Innovation Center transforming, not conforming. Making ideas happen, like the massive new mountain slopes of the LEO project, which is reinventing Biosphere 2 into a remarkable enterprise for 21st century discovery and imagination. The impossible is possible. Biosphere 2 embraces the complexity about the future of the planet, developing and testing sustainability strategies essential for a better life. Become part of this center that is becoming the incredible new UA Biosphere 2. See why Time Life Books named it one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, an inspiring adventure for visitors with guided behind-the-scene tours. Open daily, north of Tucson, America's Science City.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster on a Thursday afternoon, presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson, one of America's top 100 arts communities. If you like Mimbres pottery, they have the finest collection in the world of Mimbres pottery in Silver City at Western New Mexico University. Lots of places to stay, good places, great places, Cottage of Whispering Canyon, Spirit Canyon Lodge and Burrow Mountain, Homestead RV Park, to name a few. The full list available on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line from Arizona's state capital, Andrea D'Alessandro, state representative representing District 2, a Democrat. Andrea, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Bill.
And I understand you were at that news conference concerning the American Legislative Exchange Council. A new report was released late this morning about that group known as ALEC. What was the bottom line of the news conference?
Well, the report is a new report exposes extreme ALEC agenda in Arizona. And it was released by the Center for Media and Democracy. And the full report is available at prwatch.org. I guess what it's come down to is there are about 17 bills that have direct links to ALEC that were introduced in the state legislature this session, just in 2013.
This is not a lobbying group, ALEC, is it?
No. In fact, that was a big topic. They're actually a not-for-profit organization. They're classified that way by the IRS currently. So if you or I or a big corporation would give money to them, we would get a tax deduction just like we did do for the United Way or the Red Cross. However, there are people who are bringing this to the attention of the IRS and the Internal Revenue Service and saying this is wrong.
What are they doing specifically in Arizona that you find objectionable to?
Well, if your listeners would look at the report that was issued this morning, you would see that most of the GOP leadership is a part of ALEC. They go to meetings. They're wined and dined, and ALEC gives them their agenda of what types of bills they should introduce. The thing that got me most interested in running for public office was the defunding of public education, and that seems to be one of their goals, to privatize public education, but they're also involved with taking away workers' rights and for the expansion of private prisons.
Well, you know, I did a Google. I knew we were going to be talking about that. I looked this group, ALEC, up, and I was just amazed how widespread they are throughout the country.
Yes, I believe they operate in all 50 states, and they decided to concentrate on state houses all over the country. I'm not an expert on ALEC, but I know some states are asking for more disclosure, and I know Steve Farley has been pushing a ALEC accountability law, but unfortunately it didn't get heard. He's one of our heroes on this issue.
Let's talk about three bills that ALEC are pushing here in the state.
Well, there are three bills that are a continuum of what I consider voter suppression and corporate influence. The first one is House Bill 2539, which would increase the amount an individual could give a candidate from $500 to $5,000. And I ask your listeners, who can give a candidate $5,000 in this state? Clearly, they would have to have ties, either be independently wealthy or have ties to, you know, big corporations. And I guess government should be for, by, and of the people rather than by, for, and of corporations. We're losing our control. The other two bills, I see a continuum from the identification that the voters passed in 2004 when you go to cast your ballot. But the one that we're considering now is for about the permanent early voting list. And what they're trying to do is get anyone who has not voted via their Pebble ballot in 2010 and 2012 to remove them from the permanent early voting list. Bill, I know that we need education. We need to better educate the voters on this way of mailing in their ballot. But to take off these people is just wrong. It's just pure voter suppression. You know, the title is permanent early voting list. And I say, what about permanent? Don't they understand? The other bill, Senate Bill 1003, makes it a felony for any group to collect ballots and bring them to a polling place or to the recorder's office, make it actually a felony. And I think this really hurts people who are in rural areas, the disabled, and the elderly. So we're hoping that Speaker Andy Tobin will not bring those bills to the COW, which is the Committee of the Whole, or to the House floor.
Andrea D'Alessandro is with us, Democrat from District 2, representing Southern Arizona. Your district covers Green Valley, parts of Sierra Vista, right?
No. I start kind of Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, then I have a piece of the southern part of Tucson, south Tucson, down the I-19 corridor, and then all of Santa Cruz County down to Nogales.
Okay, I kind of had the previous boundary.
Yes. Well, it's hard to keep track with the redistricting.
You know, getting back to this ALEC, and again, that's the acronym for the American Legislative Exchange Council. Some might say, well, you guys are being like, this is like a conspiracy theory, but it goes beyond that, doesn't it?
No, you know, there are other groups. They are lobbyists. They file as lobbyists. This is a group that's filing as an educational organization, not paying taxes, and people are making tax deductible contributions to them. We're not saying ALEC shouldn't exist. We're just saying they need to be upfront about the nature of their organization. And I think if they're going to continue lobbying, they should not have a not-for-profit tax status. They're also connected in this state with the Goldwater Institute. And some days I feel like it's me against the Goldwater Institute. One bill came forward. They wanted to stop special taxing districts, put more, well, I think of special taxing districts. I think of fire districts, our library district in Pima County. One of the districts they had on their list doesn't even collect taxes, but they just go forward with some of these ideas that are not good for the people of Arizona.
Quickly here, we're about out of time on another subject. Of course, the budget hasn't really even gotten off the ground. This could be a long legislative session, Andrea.
I'm not making plans for any time this year. Bill, if I could just say that I'm very happy that my House Concurrent Memorial 2007, which will protest to Congress the proposed closing of Cherubel Mail Processing Center, passed this morning in the Senate.
Oh, good. Well, where do we go from here?
Well, the letter is going to go to Speaker Boehner and to Senate President Harry Reid in Washington and to the entire Arizona delegation to say this is the wrong thing to do.
And it's not just these processing centers. I noticed that everybody's got a favorite place where they drop off mail, you know, the blue boxes, mailboxes.
Yes.
It seems like two of the three that I use have signs on them saying that in a couple of weeks they're going away.
Oh, that's most unfortunate, Bill. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. I was unaware of that.
Yes, and I understand it's 1 in 10 of the mail pickup boxes around the city of Tucson will be a thing of the past here within a couple of weeks.
Oh, that's very bad news.
Yeah, it is bad news.
Yeah.
So, nothing new on the budget, nothing new with Medicaid expansion. As I say, we could be talking with you all from Phoenix into June.
Into June, and I'm not even making plans for the summer because the governor, you know, I really support her 110% on the Medicaid restoration. She's doing the right thing for the people of Arizona, for the hospitals, and for the businesses of Arizona. So I'm not making plans. I'll stay here till December if I have to get that passed.
Thank you, Andrea D'Alessandro, for being with us. Have a great afternoon. Thanks a lot.
Good afternoon. Bye-bye.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by Culligan. We love the Culligan water. It just simply tastes better. I think it's the best drinking water, and it's They provide the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. When we offer our in-studio guests a bottle of Culligan water, they are always delighted to get it, and I don't blame them. Good water. Coming up this afternoon, it is the John C. Scott Show, the Dean of Local Talk. John is on from 3 to 5 in the afternoon here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Then it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. Tomorrow, our Friday focus interview here on the Buckmaster Show will be with State Senator Al Melvin. We will talk about the legislature for the first half hour. Then the second half hour, we'll have, of course, our reporters' roundtable. Then we'll wrap it up with Matt Russell with his weekend watch. Hope you'll join us. I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a great afternoon.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.